I am pleased this morning to have someone with me that has been very successful in their craft and from right here in Sylacauga, Dr. Steve Marlowe. How you doing?
I'm doing well, David. How you doing?
Doing fine. First of all, tell us a little bit about Steve Marlowe and his family, because I know you're very proud of him.
Well, I am. I have a great family. I'm married to Amy Hubbard, who's from Atala originally. She's a Blue Devil. She'll tell you that every time you meet her. And we have two great kids, Tommy, who's 25, about to be 26, teaches school, teaches Spanish in Mountain Brook. And then my daughter, Greer, just got her CPA. She's newly minted, and she's an accountant with Ernst & Young in Atlanta.
In Atlanta, wow. Well, I tell you what, very successful in every part of the Marlowe family. And one of the things that Steve has been very successful in is your umpiring, your refereeing association. And we want to talk about that a little bit this morning, because you had the opportunity to be the official for the national championship game. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But I want to know, who came to Steve Marlowe to begin with? How'd you get into it? Because I know it started in high school.
Well, it started, right when I was graduating from high school. There was a teacher, his name's Jim Smith. He was an elementary teacher at Chalkville, which is where I went to elementary school. His wife, Diane, was also a teacher. But Jim was over the umpires at Center Point Ballpark, where I grew up, and he needed some people to help him call softball games. And so I got into Dixie Youth Softball. I coached girls fast pitch from age 5 to age 18, and did some boys little league baseball. And that is where my officiating career started.
Wow. And then I know I would love to have a dollar for every high school football game that I've called that Steve Marlowe was the referee in, because we've crossed paths a lot. And I got to ask you this, because we want to get into how things have evolved. When I went to work here at Radio Alabama, you know Lee as much as I do. Lee is very technical. He's very good at bringing things. So we actually started having a sideline reporter, and I would ask you guys, was it okay for him to go out and get to coin toss and all that? How much of that at the college level is I'm not going to say a problem, but you have a lot of things going on other than just the ball game.
That is true. There's two parts of it. There's a production for the fans, for the people in stadium with, you know, all of the new technology, the lighting shows, the things that go on there, and then as well as the broadcast, whether it's radio or TV, for the fans at home. That's the show. But at the end of the day, we're there to officiate the contest itself.
That's right. And, of course, we're going to talk a little bit more with Dr. Steve Marlowe, who lives here in Sylacauga, and he's gracious with his time. And, of course, we're going to talk to him about some of the ways that officiating has changed over the years, things he has to do now. He's very good and very skilled at his craft, and that's the reason why he has been able to do so many big sporting events over the last several years. And we're going to talk to him more here in just a minute. Dr. Steve Marlowe in studio with me, and he is the referee for the SEC when it comes to football. And I got to tell you, you know, when you look at the Southeastern Conference in football, of course, this year we didn't have anybody in the national championship game, but for years it's been the premier conference since probably the early 2000s, most of the seasons. But as these coaches prepare for a game, these officials that you take with you, or I say take with you, that are your crew, you guys have a lot of preparation that you have to do as well.
We do, and I think that's one of the things that's maybe important for people to know, is that we don't show up on Saturday morning and officiate a football game. There's a considerable amount of preparation that goes into being ready for a game during a week. So, and that involves film study. You know, we will evaluate our own performance. That performance will be reviewed by a position specialist and graders who will validate the things that we found. You know, coaches will point out issues that they may have had. And, you know, usually by midweek, we have an idea of how well we performed on the previous game. And then that becomes the basis for our preparation on Friday night. You know, we will take those plays that have been flagged, good, bad, or, you know, whatever's been noted, and we will watch it together as a crew in an effort to get better.
Whatever game you've been assigned, I've got to ask, is, like I say, you just don't show up an hour before the game. You and your crew meet at that venue, at that town, and on the Friday before, and like you said, you go over film, you go over the week before's game, try to learn some things that may have happened that might be different, something that you've never seen before or that you've never came across. But then you get into the game, and then, like you said, you're graded. One of the things I wanted to ask you is these players, you know, they're pumping iron and getting ready for the season, and they have to get in shape. You guys are older than them. And I'm not going to mention your age. You're not old, but I'm just saying, how hard is it for your crew to make sure that you're in the shape you need to be in to be running up and down that field on a Saturday?
Well, before the season starts, we all have to submit a physical exam and a doctor attest that we are physically able to perform the duties. There's also a physical assessment we'll have in the summer where we'll, you know, run, have agility drills, and we need to pass that as well. Part of the preparation in season, and I can speak for myself, there is a physical component that I try to maintain throughout the week.
Right.
And it, you know, can be, you know, running, jogging a couple of days, maybe lifting weights a couple of days. But maintaining some level of physical fitness throughout the season is important.
And I've got to ask this as well, because I know there's been several games that I've watched, maybe some of yours, some not, but where there are, I guess you call them either substitutes or alternates, just like players on the sideline. Football's a rough sport, and it can be for the officials too. Say they get caught up in a tackle or they get their legs taken out from under them on the sideline, and they have to leave the game. You guys have to be prepared for that as well.
There are some games that we do have alternates. In season now, we do not have alternates. We have eight on-field officials. And if somebody does have an incident, an issue physically where they cannot perform, then we will adjust our mechanics to work seven-man mechanics, which was the norm for many, many years, probably up until maybe 10 years ago. So we all, pretty much everybody, has some level of experience working in a seven-man crew.
I'm going to talk with Dr. Marlowe here a little bit more in depth, because as an official, and I know him, been knowing him for years, and he's just been great no matter what level he's been on. But I got to tell you, there are times when he's gone to venues, and I know a lot of people ask him, what's the best game you've ever done, or what's the best place? For him, it's just really about the officiating, but there has to be some situations that he can remember, and maybe we can pull one or two of them out of him when we come back with Steve Marlowe. Dr. Steve Marlowe in studio with me, and we're talking about his refereeing career, really, because he works a full-time job, folks. I mean, this is not how he pays the bills, by refereeing ball games on Saturday. But, you know, I'm sure you get asked a lot, what's the greatest place you've ever gone? What's the greatest game you've ever called? I will ask you this, not necessarily naming the teams, but have you had a game that's went into a bunch of overtimes? Maybe.
I think I've had one game with multiple overtimes.
Wow. And then, of course, memorable games you discuss with me. Talk about one that probably sticks out in your mind.
You know, if I had to say just one of the very best memories that I've had in my officiating career, high school, whatever level, the my first year in the SEC, I was picked to work the Fiesta Bowl, and it was Notre Dame and Ohio State, and I was the center judge, was not the referee, but my family did get to come on the trip with me, and when I came out of the tunnel pregame, about 90 minutes before kickoff, both of my kids and my wife were on the sideline, and
wow,
it was special to me that they got to experience the bowl game with me, and we got to have a few minutes together before the game, and we have a picture from that. And you cannot officiate any sport at any level unless your family is supportive of what you do.
And your employer, your family, and then, of course, as you mentioned off there too, you got to have a great rapport with that crew that you have, because we've talked about it. Your SEC crew, you're with those guys unless there's a conflict with, say, an injury or they cannot do a certain game or whatever. You've got to have a great rapport with that team.
The crew is important. You know, there are three groups of people that really help, I think, us be successful. You know, number one is your family. If they're not supportive, it's not going to be good. Number two is you have to have an employer who's supportive of you as well, and that means the team that you work with, and being able to be off on Friday afternoons to travel and to have a team that supports you, that, quote, has your back, that if there's a problem that they can take care of it and you don't have to worry about that, helps you get your focus for the weekend. But then it's the other guys that you share the game with. And I've been fortunate my whole life. All of those people in my life have just been the very best.
Absolutely. And then it starts with your family and knowing your family the way I do. All right, now – people always ask, what's the best place you've ever gone? And I don't want to get you into specifics, but here's the thing with me. I want people to understand that, yeah, you can, when you walk out of that tunnel for the first time at Baton Rouge or Jordan-Hare or whatever, wow, it's really loud. But once you get into the coin toss and your guys are getting ready, it's locked in then. You're not thinking about where you are.
Not at all. We are there to officiate the game, and it doesn't matter what level we work. To the fan, to people who follow the sport, there are certain matchups that may be of significance to them, may be more important to them. But at the end of the day, you've got two teams, and you need to provide the very best that you can. And some of the best experiences I've had, you know, just reflecting back on the years that I've officiated, you know, I can tell you early in my career, one of my favorite memories is working a 1A high school game. It was in Billingsley, Alabama, and they were playing Maplesville, and it was the big rivalry. And everybody in Billingsley, and I think everybody from Maplesville, was at that game. And it was a great environment, and the kids, and you know, it brought communities together, and it was just a great experience. And that game meant as much to them as the games that you see on Saturday means to those
absolutely.
Players.
Absolutely. And I'm going to ask you this real quick. We're going to talk in our next segment about somebody that may want to get into this and follow in your footsteps, but I got to ask you, the one thing that's maybe evolved, and I'm not going to say a problem or something, but how has it changed the most for Steve Marlowe as far as when you started with those high school football games to now national championship and of college? What have you had to learn the most on or adapt to?
I think there are a couple of things that have changed in the game from, you know, roughly 35 years ago. And you can look at it at the high school level, and a lot of things, you know, trickle down. But when I first started, the ball, you know, it was a running game.
Yeah.
The ball was in the air. It was probably a backward pitch on a triple option. Now You have these high schools that are running spread offense, spreading the field out, using the whole, you know, every bit of the space on the field, you know, trying to get an advantage. The speed of the game, I think, has changed.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got technology. You know, there is replay in the NFL. There's replay in college football. But we've had replay in high school football as well.
Yeah,
it's always at the option of the home team. So, you know, those parts of technology, you know, are available at pretty much all levels now.
Well, we're going to talk with Dr. Marlowe a little bit more about how someone from around here might want to get into officiating. It doesn't matter whether it's softball, like you said, starting, Little League baseball, Cal Ripken, whatever the case may be, even high school football. We'll tell you how to do that, and we'll also tell you that you're not just going to get thrown out there in the first college game without some kind of experience. So we'll talk about that with Steve here in just a second. Steve Marlowe in studio with me, and we're talking about his refereeing and officiating career, and we've talked about the highlights and where you've been and things. Now we'll talk about if there is a young man or lady that wants to get into high school officiating. And I'm going to tell you this. I will ask you this. You've done all. Is basketball the hardest to do? And when I say hardest, I'm talking about as far as the speed of the game, the pace of the game. You've got three officials, but you got 10 players you're watching. To me, I would think basketball might be the most difficult.
I have worked basketball. It's been a long time. And every sport has its challenges to officiate. Some aspects are difficult. The thing about basketball is that you've got to be pretty quick on the draw if you have a violation or if you have a foul. You don't necessarily have a significant amount of time to process and come up with a call. It's pretty much immediate. And then the pace of the game as well. You know, the game's faster now. You know, when I watch a basketball game, be it high school or college, it is up and down the court. Mm-hmm. And so there's a physical component to what you have to do to be able to keep up with the players. So outside looking in, because I haven't been in the game in a while, I would think that basketball would be pretty difficult.
And I'll say this from a coach's standpoint, whether it be basketball, baseball, calling balls and strikes, calling fouls, whether it's a charge or whether – that's probably the hardest call for an official to make, whether it's a charge or a block. And even in football, I think all the coaches want is a consistent game for both sides. Are you calling fouls here like you are here? And you're not thinking about that as an official. You're watching, trying to do. But now there's a young lady that calls high school basketball in the association around here. And I also know a lot of these guys, and I'm going to mention a lot of the guys' names that you probably started in with, and I know they won't mind it, but Joe Allen, Howard Smith, Pete Story, all these guys that you called with from around this area. If there's somebody that wants to get started, what do you suggest?
Contact the High School Athletic Association.
Mm-hmm.
They can put you in touch with your local association for whichever sport it is that you have an interest. And that can be found online, or you can simply dial the number and ask to speak to somebody.
Okay.
If you're having difficulty there, then call up your old high school coach.
Yeah.
One of your coaches from your school, and just say, hey, can you help me get in touch with the local association for football or basketball, baseball, whatever the sport may be?
And I got to be honest with you, I've been told by a lot of them, there's a shortage in this, isn't there?
We need people to pick this up as an avocation.
Yeah, Steve Marlowe's not going to be able to officiate games in his 80s.
That's right. That's right. I would challenge everybody who's listening. You know, think back to the time when you played sports and you wanted a good and fair contest, and we need to provide that for the next generation of kids, and that's important. And I'm on the school board in Sylacauga, and we'll just talk about high school sports for a minute. you know, interscholastic sports are an extension of the classroom.
Yep.
It is, you know, it, the team sports instills, you know, a competitive spirit in our kids, teaches teamwork. There's so many positive things that come out of that that help make a real well-rounded person when they get their high school diploma and walk across that stage. If we don't have people who are willing to step up and officiate these contests so that these kids can have that experience and become well-rounded individuals and citizens, then we're doing a, you know, we're doing a disservice to them.
And I'm with you, because I've always said, and I'm part of the broadcast crew, have been for years and years, but when you see young kids, I don't care if they're playing soccer or whether it's a softball, football, whatever the case may be, I still believe that the core of kids that play on that team, like you said, and have respect for their coach and the officials, those are the people that are going to make better employees. They're going to make better sons and daughters. They're going to make better parents. And then it has a trickle-down effect. I mean, I'm sure when you played sports, you had somebody that you looked up to and said, man, I really appreciate this. And, you know, for years and years, I went over and helped Harold Brooks at the Boys Club. You know, the officials over there, they didn't get a dime. They were out there for those kids. And to me, that's what it's all about.
Some of the best friends, best relationships I have are through officiating.
Yeah.
And it is primarily, you know, a male field. As you said before, this is something ladies can do too.
Absolutely.
And I would absolutely encourage everybody to consider this. And there is a course. We teach it at Sylacauga High School, sports officiating.
Yep.
And you don't have to be a high school graduate to begin officiating. They have a program now where you can become a restricted official at the age of 16, which means Wow. You can work any contest with the exception of a varsity game.
Wow.
So you can go ahead, start building some seniority, get you some experience, and then you're on your way. And you've kind of paid your dues early on, and then you can step right on the field and start working.
And you know what? That's how Steve Marlowe got started with fast pitch softball. And then you look, just a few days ago, he was refereeing the national championship game between Ohio State and Notre Dame. Hey, it's been a pleasure talking with you. Anything we can do to certainly help and to help get more people involved in this, we want to do that. But I thank you for coming in today.
Thank you, Dave. It's been great.
Steve Marlowe with us here on air, and we'll talk to him more. Maybe going into next football season with the SEC, and make sure he's ready to go.